especially those that weren't able to be with us this morning. Good that you're able to be out, or at least are out tonight, whether you're able or not. We're thankful for your presence. Direct your attention tonight to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. It says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter," and he's talking about those things in verse 20 that were dishonorable, "separate yourselves from those things that are dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." I want to focus tonight particularly on that phrase, "useful for the master." You know, military members stay ready so that they can be used at a moment's notice. I've read a couple of books that were written by Navy SEALs. One that was written by a Navy SEAL that was on several of the missions that were in the news. And it was interesting. I didn't realize he had been on those missions when I bought the book and read it. But it was very interesting. And one of the things that he reveals in that is that every SEAL has their own... He called it a locker, but it's not a little locker. It's almost a room that has his weapons and several different weapons that are accessible to him, that he's skilled in. He's responsible for them. They are his weapons. And when they're called to go out on a mission at a moment's notice, every SEAL goes to their locker, picks the weapons that they'll need for that particular mission, and they're gone. Ready at a moment's notice. Every rescue personnel stays ready so they can be dispatched at a moment's notice. If you ever go to a fire station, you'll notice that each one of those units is ready to go. Every man there is, and woman is ready to go. Whenever their signal comes, they're on their way. Faithful Christians stay ready so that they can be used by Jesus at all times. The word here that is translated in the New King James Version, "useful," in the King James Version, it says "meet for the master's use." It comes from a Greek word that means easily used. Useful. Easily used. Training has already taken place. The mindset is already there. All you have to do is say, "This is what we need," and that one is there. Timothy was told to be useful for the master, meet, ready, fit for the master's use. And so every Christian is called to the same. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 19 through 20, Paul talks about a couple who were not useful for the master. He says, "Having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected, concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." When one rejects the faith, they are useless to the Lord. They turned away from the Word of God, and therefore the will of God. Timothy is told here to have faith and a good conscience. It says some have rejected that. They have, concerning the faith, they have suffered shipwreck. You know, shipwrecks were quite often in Bible times. They probably happen more today than what we're aware of. But you know, when your ship is wrecked, it's useless. It's no good. He said, "Hymenaeus and Alexander are those who have rejected the faith." they have become useless to the Lord. And he says, I have delivered them to Satan. Paul said that such ones are to be delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. When one becomes useless to the Lord, they are to be delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? I mean, that when you read that, I don't know about you, but at least I do. I need to stop and figure out, what is he talking about? What does it mean to blaspheme? It means to speak against the Lord. Well, if somebody's shipwrecked the faith, if they have rejected the faith, why would they be and how would they be blaspheming the Lord? Well, you see, they are not in fellowship with Christ if they've rejected the faith. But they blaspheme the name of Christ when they claim they are in fellowship with Him. You see, Hymenaeus and Alexander, they didn't consider themselves to be out of fellowship with God. They considered themselves to be still Christians. They had rejected the faith. There were false teachers in that day, and there were those who followed false teachers. Hymenaeus and Alexander are in that number. Do false teachers consider themselves to be out of fellowship with God? No. They consider themselves to be all right with God. Paul said, I've delivered them to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. I've made it plain to them, they're not in fellowship with God, they're in fellowship with Satan. They need to learn their condition, that when you reject the faith, you've rejected fellowship with God. We go to 2 John 9, which teaches that very thing. In Revelation chapter 2, he wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he says, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. Unless you repent. Why would the Lord remove their lampstand? They had failed in the first works while claiming to be the Lord's church. Did the church at Ephesus consider themselves not to be the church of Christ at Ephesus? No. They thought everything was fine. The Lord says, you have quit the first works. There's a lot of things that they were commended for. They stood against false teachers and all that. They needed to do that. But he said, you dare not quit the first works. What was that? The first work of the church is to seek and save the lost. You know, you can stand against, and we need to stand against false teachers. We need to teach the pure word of God. But if we get so wrapped up with false doctrine that we forget those that are lost, and we're not reaching out to those that are lost, and we're not trying to save the lost, we're spending too much of our time in the wrong place. Remember the first work, the first love. What's the first love of God? God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Do you see how the first works and the first love, they go one hand in hand with one another? When we stop trying to save the people that we work with, the people we go to school with, people in our own family, when we give up on that, when we quit, we've failed in the very first work of the church. And Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, if you don't repent and get back to the first works, I'm going to remove your candlestick. Your light isn't shining. You've become useless to me. Why should I have your lampstand there if you're not going to shed forth the light that I have created you to shine forth. They had become useless to the Lord. Instead of being useful for the Master, they had become useless. So how can we be ready to be used by the Lord? Be ready, like those in the military, like those first responders. How can we be ready when the need arises? How can we be prepared and useful for the Lord? Well, first of all, it occurs to me that we need to let Jesus, not the devil, be our master. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, we're told that Christ, of course, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. God in Christ has conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son. We're not in the power of darkness anymore. Why do we keep acting like it? Why do we keep dabbling in the things that Jesus would never dabble in? We claim to be followers of Christ, and Christ would never go to some of the places that we go. He would never say some of the things we say. He would never listen to some of the music that we listen to. He would never watch a movie that we would watch. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. Why do we continue to dabble in it? Why don't we act like the children of light and the citizens of the kingdom of the Son of God? 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11 said, Paul said, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to my ministry." Mark is useful to my ministry. And of course, you know the story on this, that Mark was one that Paul didn't want to take with him on his second journey. The third journey, maybe it was. But anyway, Mark was the nephew, I think it was, of Barnabas, and Mark hadn't worked out too well on the first journey, and he says, "Well, I don't think we ought to take him with him." And it was so contentious between them that Paul went his way, and Mark and Barnabas went their own way. Or Silas, maybe it was. I got that kind of confused myself. But I need to go back and revisit that. But you all know the story. But now he says, Mark is useful to my ministry. Things had changed. Mark had changed. We can change. You see, if we get to looking at our life and we say, "What? I'm not ready. I'm not ready at a moment's notice to do the Lord's will when that arrives." We can get ready. Mark did that. Philemon, Paul wrote of Onesimus. He says, "He was once unprofitable to you, but now he is profitable to you and to me." That servant of Philemon. He was once unprofitable, but now he is profitable to you and to me. See, things can change. We can change. And if we're not ready, we need to become ready. And what would motivate us to be ready is to let Jesus be the master instead of Satan and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Don't let that be the master over you. Let righteousness and godliness be the goal of your life. We need to let purity, not defilement, needs to be our character. In 2 Corinthians 6, in verses 17 through chapter 7, in verse 1, it says, "Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In reverence for God, let us perfect holiness. We cannot perfect holiness if we remain with those who are unclean. If we remain unclean, we need to come out from among them. Be separate from them. Not participate in those things. Love God more than we love those who love the things that are unclean. We need to be receptive, not closed-minded, to the Word of God. You know, there are some people who reject the Word of God. I was reading yesterday, it was kind of interesting to me, how that people profess to believe in God, they just didn't believe the Bible. Oh, it's not that they didn't believe everything in the Bible. It was just some parts of it they didn't believe. The parts that they didn't agree with are the parts that they didn't believe. The parts that they didn't agree with, the parts that convicted them of their sin, they tried to explain away. And they wouldn't listen to reason, very clear logic, and evidence. Rather, they rejected it. They were closed-minded. They were so bent on practicing their sin and still deceived themselves into thinking they were in fellowship with God that they just didn't want to listen to what the Bible said on those subjects. We need to be like that young Samuel. You remember that his mother Hannah took him to the priest, high priest Eli, to be raised. And as he was in Eli's house, that the Lord began to speak to him, Samuel, Samuel. He thought it was Eli, and he ran into Eli's room and says, "What is it?" And Eli said, "What do you mean?" He says, "You called for me." He said, "No, I didn't call for you. Go home. Go back and go to bed." So that happened a couple of times, and Eli finally realized that the Lord was speaking to him. Told him, the next time that happens, you need to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." And that's what Samuel did. Samuel answered, "Speak, your servant hears." That needs to be our attitude. That when God speaks to us from His Word, and it's clear to us, He says, "This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to stop doing. This is what I want you to start doing and keep doing." When that message is clear to us, we need to be like Samuel and say, "Speak, your servant hears. I'm ready. I'm ready to hear you. I'm ready to do your will. I'm ready for you to cleanse me. I'm ready to perfect holiness in my life." We need to have that attitude if we're going to be useful to the Master. We need to be informed, not ignorant, in our understanding. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Be diligent." Strong word. And say, don't just drift along. Be diligent. Set your mind to this. Be serious about it. Be sober about it. Be active in this. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be serious about this. There's a necessary inference there, isn't there? If we are to rightly divide the word of truth, then it necessarily infers that the word of God can be wrongly divided. And unless we're careful, we're going to wrongly divide it. We're going to wrongly understand it. We're going to wrongly apply it. And we're going to be wrong before the Lord and not in fellowship with Him. To be useful to Him, we need to be diligent to be approved by Him, and that means that, yeah, we have to work at it. We have to work at it. and not only work at understanding it, but work at putting it into practice. And you know, when you put it into practice, that's work. That's faith at work. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, but faith is work. People say, you know, you don't have to work, you just have to have faith. They don't understand what faith is. Faith is works. That's what James said. Faith without works isn't faith. It's dead. Faith needs to be put into action. I'll show you my faith by my works, by my faith working. I'm not going to tell you, show you my faith by what I think I know. That doesn't convert anyone, does it? It's not useful to the Lord. Us talking about what we're supposed to do and then not doing it, that's not useful. We need to put it into practice. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 16 through 18, he says, Peter, speaking of Paul's epistle, says that he speaks in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist. Is that okay? Just go ahead and twist what Paul said. That's okay. Doesn't matter what he says. You just apply it however you want to apply what he says. No? He says when you twist what Paul says, it might be hard to understand, but you can understand it if you are diligent in applying yourself to it. But when you twist the Scriptures, when you change the meanings of words, and you change the clear intention of the verse and the passage, he says you twist it to your own destruction. Not very useful to the Lord when I change His Word to where it's going to destroy me spiritually. As they do also the rest of the Scriptures. They didn't just do it with what Paul had to say. They did it with the rest of the Scriptures too. Any place it didn't quite fit them, they were going to twist it to where, okay, now the Scriptures fit us, you see. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away by the error of the wicked. Well, they just see it differently. No, it's not just different, it's wickedness. Did they try to apply some logic to their understanding? Yes. Did they try to persuade you with their logic? Yes. Be careful. Be careful or you're going to be participating in their wickedness. It's just not a different way of seeing things. It's the practice of wickedness. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't twist His words. Accept His words. And grow in the favor of God and the knowledge of God. To Him be glory both now and forever. So happy, so blessed to know that you're at peace with God because you let His Word convict you of your sin, lead you to repentance, and lead you in paths of righteousness. We are ready to be used by the Lord to be at the Lord's disposal, not busy, busy, busy with our own schedule. I'm just too busy to read the Bible. I'm too busy to pray. I'm too busy to call upon someone. I'm too busy to prepare a Bible study. Well, you might be too busy to do all of those things, but you're too busy at the wrong things. You're too busy at your agenda rather than the Lord's agenda. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, we need to be like Isaiah. The Lord was lamenting about the fact that He had raised up children who had rebelled against Him. He was concerned about bringing them back into fellowship with Him. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." Ready at the Lord's disposal. Who will help? Who helped my servants in the hurricane? We said, "Here we are. Send our money." Gary and Nancy said, "Here we are. Send us." Pack said, "Here's my truck. Here's my trailer. Send it." See, that's the right attitude. Here I am. Send me. I talked to Gary this morning, and he is tired. I mean, you could tell in his voice. He'd been working hard. He said, "These people down here are going to need a lot of help for a long time." How can we be ready to be used by the Lord? We need to be selfless. Selflessness needs to be our approach to our possessions, to everything that we possess. I'm not just talking about things. I'm talking about time, abilities. It's not my time. It's not my things. If I'm following Christ, it's to be used to the Lord and for the Lord. In Matthew 21, the first three verses, says, "When they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you should say to them, The Lord has need of them, and immediately He will send them.'" Did anybody say anything to Him? I don't know. But Jesus knew all this. You're going to find Him, and the attitude of that person is going to be, "Well, if it's for the Lord, if the Master has need of it, go ahead and take Him. If the Master has need of my time, it's His. If the Master has need of my house, it's His. If the Master has need of my car, it's His. If the Master has need of my talents, they're at His disposal. Immediately, He will send them." Is that our attitude? Ready for the Lord's use? We need to be using our talents. That needs to be our practice. We just looked at this in Matthew 25 and verses 24 through 26. The man went into a far country and he gave talents to different ones. Some increased and others didn't. Didn't lose what he'd been given, but he didn't increase it. Didn't use what had been entrusted to him. Kept it to give it back to the Lord. And the Lord said, "No, that's not what I want. I want it to increase. I want it to increase." You said you were afraid, but you weren't afraid. You were lazy. You were lazy. That's why you didn't get it done. That's why you didn't increase. That's why you didn't talk to other people about their salvation. That's why you didn't share with others that Jesus is the Lord. That there's one church and one baptism and one faith. It wasn't that you were afraid. Just lazy. We need to be using what the Lord has entrusted to us. We need to be prepared. That needs to be our ready status. Just like those in the military and just like those first responders, we need to be prepared. Titus in chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, "Remind them to be ready for every good work." Did he say be ready for most good works or some good work? He said be ready for every good work. Are we ready? Are you ready? Verse 8, he says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to them." Don't just do a good work and say, "I did a good work." Nope, keep doing good works. Maintain good works. Keep it up. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Verse 14, he says, "Let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful." What happens when we fail to meet the need? When we neglect to meet the need? When we are not ready to be used by the Lord? He says, you become unfruitful. Unfruitful. You know, if we're unfruitful, we're useless to the Lord. How many times did Jesus tell a parable of the husbandman? The man had the orchard or the vineyard. He had the plant, and there was a plant that wasn't quite doing what he wanted it to do. And he said, "Get it out of here. It's using up good ground." And the gardener said, "No, let me fertilize it. See what happens here in a year." "Okay. But if it doesn't start producing, it's out of here." When Jesus walked by the fig tree, walked up to the fig tree expecting to find figs on it. It's time that there should have been figs on it. Wasn't any figs, just a bunch of leaves. Well, God didn't speak fig trees into existence just to bear leaves. You got maple trees to do that. He cursed the fig tree. It died immediately. Why? It wasn't fulfilling its created purpose. It wasn't useful to him. Did he do that just because he hated fig trees? No. He's trying. That was a parable. He's in action. We're created for a purpose. To live to the glory of God by keeping His commandments. We need to be serious about that and diligent about it. Living to His glory. Putting first things first. So, yes, how can we be ready to be used by the Lord? Let Jesus, not the devil, be our master. Let purity, not defilement, be our character. Let be receptive to the Word of God, not closed-minded to it. Be informed, not ignorant of what God wants us to do. Be at the Lord's disposal, not too busy to go and do what He would have us to be going and doing. Be selfless, not self-centered or selfish. Use our talents. Be prepared. Be prepared. Read, study, meditate, put into practice. Pray. Be ready for the Master's use. Are you ready to meet the Lord? If He were to come tonight, are you ready for that? If not, why not? Why not begin now? Why not repent? You know, just like Jesus said to that church at Ephesus, repent and do the first works. What if they said, "Nah, not right now. We'll repent someday, but not right now." Is that the kind of attitude He would have? How long do you think the lampstand would remain there if that was their attitude? Yeah, we need to be ready now. We need to repent now. We need to be determined to be useful for the Master now. If you're here tonight and you realize that you're not, and we can assist you either in your obedience to Him in baptism or in your return to Him through confession and prayer, we'd encourage you to let it be known. Would you please come? We stand and sing this song.